Hey, this is Kyle Clark. You're listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News and streaming live same time on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com.
The state just laid off 173 employees, a major shakeup of an office that protects Colorado state systems from hackers. Our Marshall Zellinger found out that employees got all of 3 minutes' notice.
There are no servers in the state's Office of Information Technology, and fewer employees after 173 were fired. I mean, let go.
We don't term this as a firing because it had nothing to do with performance. It was eliminating a role that we no longer wanted.
David Ettinger is the head of OIT, well, until Monday, when he leaves and Sarah Thunberg takes over.
We had wrong people in the wrong jobs, in the wrong way.
Both Thunberg and Ettinger described an overhaul of how the state's Office of IT works. An example of the old way was developing a state website like DMV or unemployment and moving on to the next project and never updating the site, like building a house and never doing upkeep. OIT laid off 173, but will post openings for 98 new jobs.
The positions we eliminated do not match the moment and what we need to hire for. They're not the same.
Could a solutions engineer do what they want now?
Yeah, without question.
Paul Petyo was a solutions engineer until today, someone who makes sure the technology that is bought is safe and accessible.
The security of the application, the accessibility so that everyone can access the app, that the procurement requirements are healthy and we're not selling data to private companies or third parties.
Petyo said he found out at 9:27 a.m. he needed to be in a live stream meeting at 9:30. Not 3 weeks' notice, not 3 months, 3 minutes.
There's no good way to do a layoff. I think our thought here was, let's rip the Band-Aid off.
Petyo said he actually found out when he was emailed a DocuSign document about being laid off just prior to the meeting starting.
People's families, mortgage payments, car payments, insurance, daycare, right? 173 people, all done by choice, not by necessity.
OIT is a department that has issues, with two recent audits finding major cybersecurity concerns. Ettinger says these layoffs are not because of the bad audit reviews.
I talked with another employee, and between the two employees, they tell me that the severance being offered is 1 week for every year of work at the state of Colorado, capping out at 4 weeks. I believe Paul's getting 1 week. The person I spoke with had been with the state for more than a dozen years and is getting 4 week severance.
Boy, a tough situation. Marshall Zellinger, thank you. Ministry leader Victor Marx is the unlikely and unconventional Republican frontrunner for Colorado governor. He's won over evangelical church crowds with his stories of more than 100 missions around the world, where he says he's rescued women and children from captivity and abuse. Marx has also performed hundreds of exorcisms, which he calls the secret sauce of his $7 million a year ministry. In order to ask him questions, Marx said we had to go to his training center in El Paso County. We went there today.
Stories that you tell about your life and your accomplishments are extraordinary. How much of it's true?
All of it.
You describe yourself as a high-risk missionary, a renowned martial artist, you're a ministry leader, you're a speaker, you're an author. What qualifies you to be the governor of Colorado?
Let's say first is, what are the qualifications to be governor? The main one for me, you first got to care for people. You got to truly care for Coloradans. And then it's a CEO position. It's not a legislator. And that matters to be able to build teams out, probably assign the right people in the right positions to help run the state. That's one of the things I do well.
Your campaign website falsely claimed that you had rescued more than 45,000 women and children, and that claim has since been taken down. How many women and children have you rescued from captivity and abuse?
We've never publicly given the number out for security reasons, and we don't have a need to. I would say it's more than one and less than a bunch.
Giving a number would put people in danger.
Yes.
You certainly do use specific rescue numbers, though, when you feel that it suits your purposes. You wrote in February of this year, just last month, our team rescued 43 children from the grips of evil predators. Where did that rescue of 43 children happen?
In the U.S., and that was by, through, and with law enforcement, through a special operations that we do with protecting children's innocence.
Are you referring to Operation Northern Lights in Florida?
Yes.
Okay. So the U.S. Marshals named 25 partner agencies, including two rescue ministries that were involved in that operation. They said nothing about you and your ministry. But you're claiming credit for those 43 rescues? They didn't even mention you.
Does that mean we didn't help them?
No, I'm just curious why you think that is.
We don't require that we be listed or named in any operations.
What is the proof that you have rescued significant numbers of women and children?
Well, I just walked you through our training center.
You show me your own photographs.
Yeah.
Which are not proof of anything other than the fact that you took a photo with someone.
People believing it or not, it has no bearing on our work.
Let me throw out another theory and you can tell me what you think about it.
Okay.
What if the reason that you won't say how many women and children that you've rescued is because that number is actually quite small? But admitting that would hurt your fundraising. And now it would hurt your political campaign. So you cite individual stories of rescues, this one story in depth, this one story in depth, and then you tie those individual anecdotes together with big numbers, like we've helped 45,000 women and children. And if people think that your operation is bigger and more impactful than it is, it helps you financially, and it now helps you politically.
I don't think that's true. And whether people think we rescued one or 100 or 300 or 3,000, I think the response is still going to be the same. We're doing the work that we say we do.
In a moment, our conversation continues with questions about how many people Victor Marx has killed during his missionary operations and the exorcisms he says he's performed on the rich and powerful. Victor Marx is committed to debate his Republican opponents next week on 9 News, their only televised debate. Marx, say Senator Barbara Kirkmeyer, State Rep Scott Bottoms, debate live, 9 News, 6 p.m. Tuesday, June 2nd. Then Thursday, June 4th, 6 p.m., 9 News hosts the Democratic primary debate for governor between Senator Michael Bennett and Attorney General Phil Weiser. Then on Monday, June 8th at 6 p.m., we have the only televised debate between the Democrats vying for the chance to face Republican Representative Gabe Evans in the super competitive 8th Congressional District. State Rep Manny Rutenel and former State Rep Shannon Byrd will debate here. Third candidate, Evan Munsing, dropped out today. All right, what do you say? Let's do some good in this state, right? Your weekly micro-giving has raised $18 million over 6 years. And this week, let's help a Meals on Wheels program redefine its mission to reach more Coloradans. This week's Word of Thanks micro-giving campaign supports Cold Creek Meals on Wheels in Lafayette, Louisville, Erie, and Superior. Beyond the traditional meals and companionship for older folks who can't get out easily, they do that. But Cold Creek Meals on Wheels' fastest-growing program serves younger families who are squeezed by the high cost of living in East Boulder County. Mostly working adults, as the nonprofit's leaders tell me, they're contributing but unable to make ends meet. So the nonprofit's trying to help families with meals this summer when kids are out of school. But they, too, are feeling the impact of rising costs of groceries and gas. As the nonprofit told me, both the meals and the wheels are more expensive. We can help. Scan the QR code on your screen or text the word thanks to 303-871-1491. We'll shoot you that link to donate. Even $5 helps. And you know the deal. I'll never ask you to give to a cause I don't support myself. So I'll match the first 50 donations of $5 to get us rolling. We're coming up now on 8,000 of you who are signed up to make a monthly donation to the Word of Thanks Fund. You put in your info one time, pick a donation amount, and it's automatically split among all the nonprofits we feature. And lately, that has added almost $50,000 in your generosity to every weekly campaign.
It's like no other place I've ever been to.
Coloradans recovering from addiction say this farm has been a lifeline. Soon, they'll have to find somewhere else to find care. The Republican frontrunner for governor, ministry leader Victor Marx, has had a life that he describes as being intertwined with acts of violence. He says he suffered horrific abuse as a child, including being forced to kill a man at age 7. And as an adult, he talks about the need for some people to be killed as he works as a self-described high-risk missionary who back home performs hundreds of exorcisms.
Your claim that your abusive stepfather forced you to kill a man when you were 7 years old, is that the only person you've ever killed?
Well, I would say as a child, yes. I mean, without question. But I've been in other situations where, you know, possibly people or persons died as a result of me defending myself in other countries.
Do you think that you've killed people as an adult?
Does it matter?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Why?
Killing somebody's a pretty weighty thing.
If someone's trying to kill you or you're in combat?
It's still a weighty thing to take somebody else's life. I mean, it could be self-defense, it could be justified, but it's still a weighty thing. So I'm just asking you, how many people have you killed?
Well, if I did, I wouldn't be telling a reporter sitting here in my training center.
How about voters? Would you tell voters?
There's no need. I don't think that's important. It's actually kind of, it's an odd question to me.
Because you actually talk about the idea of killing people with some frequency and why it's a necessary thing to do, killing people. You said on NRA TV in 2017, now a lot of them just got to be killed. I've had them shoot at me and I had to shoot back. There's a time and place to eliminate the enemy and you have to. You said on Jeff Lerner's podcast in 2025, some people have to get killed. Some people have to die. But it's an odd question to ask you how many people you've killed.
Yes.
You claim that you once called in a U.S. military airstrike that killed 70 ISIS fighters. I didn't realize that civilians could essentially facilitate military airstrikes. Could you walk me through how that worked?
No.
You perform exorcisms, commanding demons to come out of people. Can you explain to me how that works?
I don't command the demons to come out of someone. I think of them as assignments or attachments to people. And we identify the demon, like Jesus did. We ask what their name is, and then we give them commands. And they very frequently and typically will answer. Through the person's mind, they'll tell us what they hear. And then we destroy them, banish them to perfect judgment from Christ.
You also perform these exorcisms by phone. Are those just as effective?
They are.
Where does the demon go at the end of the exorcism?
We send them to the footstool of Jesus Christ, who we believe is sitting at the right hand of the Father, who then absolutely gives them perfect judgment of what happens.
You don't charge for the exorcisms, right?
No.
Okay. But they were part of the how-to guide that was available on your website for $99, the spiritual warfare guide with battle tools and resources. It's no longer available on the site.
Well, I think that's a film, and it's always, whatever we have posted with that was, you can pay $1.99, but we've never charged. I've never looked at a person and asked for remuneration for casting demons to Christ or praying for someone.
Do you understand why so many of your critics think you're a con man?
No.
My full 30-minute conversation with Victor Marks is on the next YouTube channel. It's turned out a meteorologist, Chris Bianchi, and the winner of the rain lottery in Colorado today, our friends on the plains.
And happy to see it, Kyle. This is the part of the state that did not get all the rain that we saw in the Denver area last week. Early to mid last week, of course, we picked up over an inch of rain across most of the metro area. Southeast Colorado, though, mostly missed out. This is where we're seeing the majority of the rain so far today, though. Good to see, and it's still ongoing, especially south of I-70. Still seeing some of that steady rain and some occasional rumbles of thunder across the northeastern plains in Logan, as well as Phillips and Sedgwick counties, far east Weld County, getting on some showers and rumbles of thunder as well. A little bit of light rain here and there in Denver. Did pick up about a tenth of an inch of rain out at the airport earlier on. However, worth noting, the airport Unfortunately, quite a few delays tonight. That's because of some 30 to 35 mile an hour winds from the outflow, from the cool rush of wind from some of those thunder showers we've had this evening. Next few hours, we'll still see some showers across the eastern plains. That'll continue to tomorrow morning. In Denver, though, will clear up for tomorrow. Friday, though, could be talking about some stronger storms in northeastern Colorado, perhaps including the Denver metro. The next 7 days, very typical early summer-like forecast. Temperatures in the upper 70s and low 80s through the middle part of next week, with some stronger storms possible Friday and Saturday.
A farm that helps men recovering from addiction will soon close to be transformed for a new purpose, leaving those men looking for their next step. For decades, Harvest Farm in Wellington has helped men in recovery plant new roots and rebuild their lives. Now many of them are being forced to figure out what comes next in a few weeks. Our Evan Krugel explains.
It's like no other place I've ever been to.
Life on a farm involves constant change, new seasons, new growth, and for Leo Robinson, new beginnings.
There's nowhere else like this that I've ever seen in my life or heard about this. This place is amazing.
This place is Harvest Farm outside Fort Collins, where hundreds of men like Leo have been able to receive addiction recovery services while living and working on the farm.
They've changed my life here, and I'm so grateful for them.
But last week, Leo got news that unexpected change was coming to the farm when it closes on June 30th.
But when I thought about my brothers here on the farm is where I was concerned, is because 5 weeks isn't enough time for almost 70 other people to find a place to go in a sufficient amount of time.
There were a lot of tears shed over this decision, right? This was not only a business decision. Our hearts hurt because of this.
Dennis Van Campen is the president of the Denver Rescue Mission and says they had no choice but to turn Harvest Farm into an emergency overnight shelter as they wait for a new center to open next year.
The only other choice was to say that there's no emergency shelter for men. And we can't do that.
He says case managers are working with people like Leo to find places they can go. Leo just wishes he had more time to figure out where he'll go next.
I just feel like I'm kind of being rushed into finding a place that's sufficient so I can continue a safe recovery.
Evan Krugel reporting there. In addition to the need for emergency beds, Denver Rescue Mission says it was just too financially difficult to keep the farm open. They plan to sell that property in January after they move into the new facility in Fort Collins. Back with your feedback on the Marks interview next. When I say Meals on Wheels, you probably think of meals being delivered to older shut-ins, and Coal Creek Meals on Wheels certainly does that, but they are expanding quickly their family program that feeds hungry folks in need, younger folks in their community, Lafayette, Superior, Erie, that area. Scan the QR code on your screen or text the word thanks to 303-871-1491 to join a bunch of others and myself in supporting Coal Creek Meals on Wheels as they feed working families who need some extra help to get by. As their folks in charge there said, these are folks who are contributing to the community but just simply cannot keep up with the cost of living. Sorting through a lot of feedback about our interview with Republican gubernatorial frontrunner Victor Marks tonight. This from Western Slope viewer Doug and Rifle, who says the interview tonight with the Republican gubernatorial candidate was the interview of the decade, totally worth the extended interview time. If you would like to watch the full, unedited 30-minute interview with Victor Marks, you can find it on the next YouTube channel. I'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News, streaming live same time on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. Next producer is Mallory Harris. Our digital producer is Marilyn Moore. Our visual editor is Jeff Sartell. Our reporters include Marshall Zellinger, Mark Salinger, Angeline McCall, and Evan Krugel. Misty Montano is 9 News' digital director. I'm Kyle Clark. I'll see you next time.